filled with a lot of things that come after them in life. We're going to get some tools, and one of the most effective prayers that you can pray is praying the Word of God. Because what you're doing is you're agreeing with what the Spirit of God has already spoken. And so you know that you're praying in according to God's will. And children are a gift from God, an amazing blessing from Him. And every single day we find ourselves doing a lot of things for our kids, loving and caring for them, nurturing, teaching, training, helping, leading, equipping, encouraging, protecting, cleaning up after them, you know, and a lot more. We spend a lot of precious hours just living out, you know, whether it be helping with homework, taking them to their activities. We spend money on sports, lessons, various classes to help them grow and become all they can be, and providing opportunities that would help them to go out and explore who they are in this world. But here's the question I want to ask. How much time do you spend praying specifically for your children, for your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, for your nieces, your nephews, for our students? And I want to challenge us today to kind of re-up our commitment to pray specifically for them. In the midst of our busy lives, we need to be praying specific, powerful, promise-filled, hope-inspired prayers, beginning at the earliest of age, and praying God's Word, because there's a battle for the families. You know, if you didn't know this, the world is coming after our kids. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when I preach a message like this, sometimes people might ask, well, are you worried about indoctrinating your kids? Not at all. I'm trying to indoctrinate my kids. Listen, because we have a world that's trying to indoctrinate our kids. We live in a day and age, you can no longer just send them to the room, especially if they have a cell phone, you know, TV or, you know, something like that. There are just all sorts of voices. There are more voices coming into our kids' lives than ever before. And we just need to be aware of that. And, you know, there are a lot of good things that come with it, but there's a lot of negative influences. And prayer is essential over our children and families in order to stay alert, aware, and discerning to God's voice as they stand against the attack of our enemies. But as I read the Bible, we're never supposed to just build a shelter and kind of hunker down and say, let's just keep them safe. You know, what the Bible says is that we are to, as followers of Christ, go out and address the forces in our world. In fact, Jesus said, upon our profession of faith, He goes, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You have in your sermon notes with you there, Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. The beginning of verse 1 of chapter 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor, you remember what it says? In vain, okay? So God needs to build it, is going to build His house. And then the Lord watches over the city. So the imagery is God is building houses. He's building a city around, because God is always about community. And then what does it look like when God builds the city? Here's what it looks like. Behold, pay attention, look, observe. Children are a what? They're a gift of the Lord. Too often in our world system today, children are an inconvenience or a commodity, in some cases a paycheck. Children are a gift. Life needs to be cherished and honored. Life in the womb and life outside of the womb. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And then notice this imagery, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. I've seen a lot of cute kids, but I've never said, oh, he's just like an arrow. Okay? What does this mean? Listen, it's telling you, even in a city that the Lord builds, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to be aware of the battle that you are in. The Lord is building His city, and He gives children as a blessing to His people, and those children are going to be arrows. In other words, you know, when you had an arrow, it's not for show. It's not just to say, hey, look at my quiver full of arrows. Your arrows are for a purpose. They're for protection. It's a way in which that you send it out, send them out on purpose. And what it tells us as parents, grandparents, as people that are concerned about the next generation, is that we need to be intentional about sending our out. Typically, when you use an arrow, it's not just wherever it hits and wherever it lands. It's for a purpose. And then, in fact, an arrow makes its point. And it says we need to have our kids that are a gift from God and the fruit of the womb to be released from our hand against the framework of the bow. There's always a framework. God works in systems. You send them out into a world that is full of adversaries. And here's how this psalm ends. He goes, when they do, they will not be ashamed. in front of their enemy. They will people that will have courage and they'll have strength. And so we're going to talk about how to send our kids out as arrows and how they face, and not only just face the onslaught of this world system, but how they stand strong and help others. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to pray for them. If things go well in the family, this is throughout the scripture, things will go well in the nation. So Psalm 127 says, against the framework that we place our children in like an arrow, they need to go out and be released. And we're going to talk about scriptures you can pray in Colossians chapter 1. Now, before I invite some of the students to come up and talk, this next slide, actually two slides into it, has Colossians 1, 13, and 14. This prayer that can be prayed for anyone and everyone, I'm just directing it toward our kids and going to talk about how we can do that. The basis of it is that our children have a relationship with God. Now, there's prayers you can pray for salvation. This isn't a message about that. Here's what it says. For, he was praying all this time, for he, God, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, and he purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Because of that, we're going to talk about spiritually praying for our kids, not only in our homes, but in our church family. Things that you need to be engaged in, how you need to be praying for them as well. But I'm going to invite some of the students from Delta Chi, along with Angela Steffen, to go ahead and come on up. And they're going to share. These students that went to camp, you invested in them. After camp, seven of them followed the Lord in obedience through baptism and gave their testimony in front of their peers. Last night at TFC, the Delta Chi worship band sang some wonderful songs of praise and lifted up God. Eli Steffen quoted this exact verse. We didn't know that we were going to be on the same frame, but God just worked it out. Chloe Nelson and Angela Steffen gave their testimony. And I've always loved our teens, but the last few months I've gotten a little more involved to get to know them a little bit more, and I'm loving them. Here's what you find out when you get involved in ministry. Your heart expands. And you begin to love yourself, you begin to love the people that you're involved in even more. And so they're going to share about their camp experience and what God has done in their life. Who's going first? Just say your name as you do it. We're just going to go right down the line, okay? Say your name first.
My name's Christian. And camp was fun. I grew closer to God, and also my dodgeball team got first.
I'm Chloe, and it was pretty amazing. I liked going to worship because it just meant a lot, and we had high ponies, if you were a girl, to make it feisty. That's what Jana said.
You go, Jana.
I'm Sienna, and camp was really fun, and we did learn, other than the God part, that points don't matter. But I guess my favorite part was probably the speaker. He was a really emotional speaker, but he also knew what we needed at the time.
My name is Austin, and one of the main points that I got from camp was familiarity is a trap, and just growing up in a Christian home and thinking that I was doing what I needed to do really opened my eyes to what I really should be doing and keep growing and dive into the Bible more than what I had been doing.
I'm Isaiah, and as previously stated, I love Charlie as the speaker. He could be a Christian motivational speaker. He would get you pumped up, and it was great. And he kept on talking about how it doesn't matter what you have previously done in your life or the sins that you will do, God will always love you, and he will always care about you, no matter what.
I'm just thrilled and amazed with these students and what God has done at camp but has continued. And I would think they would all agree that as a community, they have just grown closer. They're family. I said it in the first service, I'll say it again. Eli and I were talking last night, and I'm calling a lot of these guys bullet buddies now because I really think they're to the point that they would take a bullet for each other. And I think that's incredible. You know, sometimes we wait our whole life for that friend that would do anything for us. And I think God has really developed that in these students. There were a lot of commitments made. These guys were real brief, and I thought maybe they're going to share a little more about that. But ask them. Ask them what God did at camp in their lives and have them share a little one-on-one. I'm very, very proud of them. They're an amazing group. Get to know them and keep investing in them. Thank you guys for praying. Thank you for supporting them, sending them to camp. Continue to do that. But honestly, get in their environment a little bit, rub shoulders with them and get some of their energy. It's awesome. It's contagious. And they have a lot to share and they could gain a lot from you. So thank you guys as a congregation.
And thank you for sending them to camp, for praying for them, for Corey and Jana Roush and Matt Eubanks and Angela Steffen for going to camp with them as sponsors. I kind of think that these kids, when they get in their chats and talking about it, they're talking about how much energy Angie has. You know, that's, you know. But these students, and there were four others that shared in the early service. It was Josiah Elstrom, Matthias Elstrom, Davin Benfer, and I went blank. Who was the other one? Brandon Schrader, thank you. Sorry, Brandon. You know, two of them talked about they received a call to the ministry and their commitment to Christ. And these students are arrows. They're not just haphazardly going to go and take on life. They're ones that have been against the framework of biblical training. In fact, I know that they're going to do this because I didn't get to go to camp with them. I didn't go to camp with them, but here's what I know what they'll say. Is the world going to change you or what? Or will you change the world? And what they're saying, they're going to be world changers. Because what Angela tells them quite often, they were created on purpose, for a purpose. That's right. That's right. And they're going to be arrows. And so as we talk in this list, I just want to remind you again, we're not talking about praying for salvation. Here's what I really believe. The best way to reach this next generation is to raise up world changers, people, kids, students that love Jesus. Now, if someone comes to our church, and we're not going to wait for them to come to church, we're going to attack the halls, if you will, of USD 333 of the homeschool groups that they are in with, you know, Belleville and other things, with sending them in with a message of Christ. And we're going to be linking up with other great organizations, Teens for Christ, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, other things that you can do for these students to be arrows, to have an impact and make their point in this world. But in order to do that, they need covering and they need prayer support. And so let's talk about how do we pray for our students. And as we do that, I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of God's word. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this prayer that Paul prayed for the church here. Again, it would work for anyone, but we're going to put it toward our children. We always pray for you. This is verse 3 of the New Living Translation. We always pray for you. How often? Always. And we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people. They had connections, which come from your confident hope of what God had reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. I want you to catch that phrase, this expectation. Expectant people pray. The reason we don't pray is because we don't expect the God to do anything different. We don't think it'll matter. But if we're expecting God to do something in our life and the lives of others, we'll be people that engage God in a regular conversation on a daily basis. Let's go on. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard it and understood it, the truth, from God's wonderful grace. You learn the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant. He's helping us on your behalf. He has told us all about your love for others and the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you a complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then you will live in ways that will honor and please the Lord, and you will live lives that will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. Father, as we walk down this passage and invite your Holy Spirit to instruct our prayer life with you, as we have this conversation with you, Father, I pray that you would say, Lord, I want that in my life. This is what I want you to do in me. And as you do it in me, may I then be able to take that and say, Lord, would you do it for others as well? Be our teacher today, we pray, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As I look through this passage, I see that there are about 10 things here that we can pray specifically for. Now, I notice that it's 11:40. I have about 2 minutes on every topic, on every point. Don't worry too much about it, because the first one I'm probably going to spend about 5 minutes on. We're going to get through here, and we'll be done about noon. So don't worry about that, okay? So let's go. Here's the first thing when we're praying for our kids, our grandkids, neighborhood child, our niece, our nephew. You pray for them specifically and by name. And you let them hear you occasionally praying for them specifically and by name. You let them know what you are praying for them about. Here's what he says: we always pray for you. And if you read any of Paul's letters, that often he names some of the people that were in that church. I believe he prayed for them by name. And we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see other places where people were prayed for by name. When Hannah received the gift of her son Samuel, and she's presenting him before the Lord, here's what she says. It's in your notes. I prayed for this child. There was a day when I didn't have this boy to look at and to see, but I prayed for this one. God, you answered. And the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. By the way, you remember what she named him? Samuel. You know what Samuel means? The Lord hears, or the God who hears. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he'll be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I believe Samuel heard many times his mother praying for him after it. She goes, Lord, I thank you that you are a God that heard my prayer. And I know you have a special place in a heart. And I pray that Samuel be raised up as a man of God. And when he was given to Eli in there, he had not only the hopes and the opportunities of being taught by Eli the priest, but he had the backdrop of all his mother's prayers that he had heard through the years. It's why Samuel began to learn what it meant to learn and to lean into God's voice as a young child. Let your children hear you pray for them by name and what you are praying for them about. And then we have in Judges 13:8, Manoah and his wife were visited by the angel. They said, you're going to have a son. He's going to be a Nazirite. God's going to use him as one of the judges. And before he was born, here's what Manoah, he prayed to the Lord, pardon your servant. Lord, I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again and teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. I specifically mention Samson here because if you know anything about his life, is after he got out from underneath his parents, his life took a really bad turn. He made a lot of ungodly choices, God dishonoring choices over and through his life. Listen, you need to pray for your kids, but here's what your prayers will not do. Your prayers will not violate your kids' free will. God loves them enough to let them make the choice for themselves. But listen, this didn't stop Manoah from praying for him. It didn't stop Manoah saying, hey, why don't you pick a wife from one of our people instead of other ones. He still had instruction. But listen, as you look at Samson's life, he goes through bad decision after bad decision, and life goes from worse to even worser. Worser is not a word, but it was worser for Samson, let me tell you. Okay? Really, really bad. It stunk. He had his eyes out. He had his hair shaved. He was grounded like an oxen. He had no hope left but he still had his parents' prayers. And he still had the hope of God, that God was a forgiving God. And so the only unselfish prayer that Samson ever prayed, recorded in the Bible, was, God, remember me one time, this last time. And we know that Samson will be in heaven because Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that God accepted his faith, and he's part of what we call the great hall of faith, one that God used. Even if it's a, but listen, God still had a framework for him. He went against that. Life was a lot harder for him because he didn't join with God and with his parents. But listen, sometimes you're called to pray, and you've got to persevere while you're praying for your children or for certain students that seem to just be doubling down on bad decisions. The Proverbs 23 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she's old. Get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. Where are they going to get that from? God says the primary place is in the home. The father of godly children has a cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. So give your father and mother joy. May she be who gave you birth be happy. O son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. As you continue to pray, here's what you realize, that you're saying, let my life be the example for my children. Let me be the one that they look to that says, oh, that's what it looks like to follow Christ. Because unless you come to that place, what else you pray for your children probably doesn't matter all that much, quite honestly. They need to see it. They can smell love. They can smell authenticity. You say, give us your heart so that we can direct your heart to God. See, the godly walk with integrity, and blessed are their children who follow them. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. Parents are the pride of their children. So you want to pray specifically for your children, and you want to pray for them by name. Let's go on. Thank God for those who invest in their spiritual development. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. Okay, they're like arrows going into this world that desperately needed Jesus. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. They were changing the world, not letting the world change them. It changed your lives from the day you first heard it and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. And you learned about the good news from Epaphras. Now, a little known tidbit here. Epaphras started his ministry in the 1045 toddler nursery on the first Sunday of every month. Just kidding. Okay, seeing if you're with me. Listen, where does God have you placed in the lives of students and children to help? Listen, don't worry about the one place that this is finally it. You start where you're at. You start with what you can do, and you start getting invested. Listen, Jesus had already done everything necessary for people to come to a saving knowledge. This is after Jesus had died on the cross, after he'd been buried in the grave, and after he had been raised on the third day and ascended back to heaven. And guess what? He still needed people to share the message. God's message goes through people. And if you're going to pray for the student ministries of this church, here's a question I just ask you. Where are you involved? And I would just tell you, we shouldn't be begging for people in ministry. We need people in Sunday school. We need them, you know, and thank God for those that are investing in our children. And put them on your prayer list. Listen, if someone asks, can I have a list of the people that are involved in teaching our children? We'll compile that list for you. If you'll commit to pray, we'll compile that list. And so you pray for Matt and Sandra Eubanks in Route 56. And you pray for Landon and Elena Elstrom. And you thank God for Corey and Jana Roush and Paul and Pat McNutt and Angela Steffen and Amanda Crossan and Christy Beneschak that are involved in our student ministries of Delta Chi. And you thank God for John and Brenda Turner and Kathy Turner. At least I didn't say Aretha. Kathy Anderson, and you pray for Deanna Garlow and Megan and Jeremy Nolf, and you thank God. And when you see them, say, God, these are the people that are forming our arrows. See, here's what I understand. In this day and age, people didn't go to Amazon.com and order their arrows. In order to get an arrow, you had to get a stick. You had to form it. You had to put the feathers on it. You had to have it right. It had to be straight. It had to be placed upon. It took a lot of work to get involved. Listen, what you hear from the kids, and these kids that are called in the ministry, many of them were raised in the nursery of our church and have been involved in the ministries through the time. It doesn't happen by accident. And you have some people on your team. And I just want you to know that we're not perfect. We're going to drop the ball at times, but listen, we need you on the team. And we need you praying. We need you thanking God. And part of that big prayer support is going there. And anyone involved in student ministries or children's ministries would tell you, here's what we want to do. In our children's ministry, we want to be a place for children to explore faith by learning the Bible, loving Jesus Christ, and living in joy. Boy, those are arrows we need to send out. People that know the Bible, people that love Jesus, and they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. In Delta Chi Student Ministries, we want to be a place where we connect junior and senior high students to God and to each other. And if you see what's happening, you see that is happening. And that they are engaging God with their minds. They're honoring Christ with their bodies. And they are pursuing the truths of Christ with their deepest actions and attitudes of their lives. Thank God for those that are involved in there. And I would just boldly ask you this. If you're not involved in some area of children's ministry, I would just ask you this. Why not? Why not? It's some of the most fertile ground to be involved in. Okay? You don't have to tell me why. Talk to God. Just say, why not? And if God releases you, that's fine. Okay? Embrace God's plan for their life and pray that they will learn, understand, and embrace that plan as it's become known in their lives. John, did I mention you and Brenda? Okay, I got the Kathy Turner and I kind of got off, okay? All right, but John and Brenda Turner and NFW friends. But embrace God's plan for their life and pray that they will learn and understand and embrace that plan as it becomes known in their lives. Here's what it says. We ask that God will give you a complete knowledge of his will and will give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. If you're going to give your child to God, if you want God's best for your kids, here's what you say is, I'm a steward of what God has given me. I have a responsibility to God to raise my children in God's way, raise my grandchildren in God's way. And here's what I understand. My ways aren't always God's way. My thoughts aren't always God. Listen, when you say God, they're yours. God's going to do some things that you're saying, why did you do that? Listen, and life is hard. Last night, we heard a testimony from Chloe Nelson, 11 years old, had a cancer diagnosis, lost her hair, had a lot of bad things, wondering about all of that. And in that process, God spoke through all of that stuff to her where she says, I know that God loves me and cares for me. But as a parent, if I was going through that myself, as an 11-year-old, I'd be saying, God, why? What's happening? What's going on? There'd be some things I'd have to sort through. But say, embrace God's plan for your life. See, here's what we know about God's plan. He never gives us a 20-year plan with every step that's going to happen and say, no surprises. It unfolds in our life. God wants a daily relationship with us. He doesn't want us going and filling out a list and saying, here, I did that, I checked that off, I did that. Good, it's working according. It's working just like you scripted it, God. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to hear our hurts and our pains, our hopes and our ambitions. And the outgrowth of you embracing God's plan for your kids hopefully will cause them to embrace God's plan for their life. And here's just a little thing that I learned. That it's a little cute way of saying it, but I believe it with all of my heart. One of the ways that you embrace God's plan and their plan is that you focus more on G-O-D than, advance the slide, please. You focus more on G-O-D than GPA and MVP. Grade point average and most valuable player. Now listen, we want our kids to get good grades and we want to encourage them to do that. We want them to do the best in sports and we want them to excel and have all kinds of opportunities, but not giving God his due. Let me just ask you this question. When do sports or academics ever take a second place to God in your family's life? And if it doesn't, I would just say that there's something out of balance, most likely there. Listen, I think we should get good grades, get scholarships, go for all that stuff. But you can recover if you got a C in one class. You can recover. That is not a life-changing deal. But listen, if our kids get through life without G-O-D, man, that just doesn't affect this life. It affects all of life. Let's save them from some of the pain. You hear what I'm saying? If the only thing they have you encouraging them in is their sports, and you will go to every game that you have and do all that, and you don't encourage them to get involved in Sunday school. And by the way, I didn't mention Sunday school teachers, but if, you know, Laura Watson and Marilyn Howard and Christy Beneshek and Sherry Anderson, I mean, yeah, get the list. Pray for them. We have some great people that are investing in their life. Let them see who is number one in your life. Let's go on. Pray that they will experience the joy of saying yes to God. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And God's commands aren't burdensome. You know, one of the, I think it was Josiah on Wednesday night shared his testimony. It was Josiah or Eli, one of you two. I know who you guys are, but one of you said this. It's what they found in their life, it's always harder trying to live a double life than to live solely for Christ. It was Eli that said that? Okay, all right. Josiah, you said some good things too, okay? As did Ryan, okay? All right. But and I thought, wow, and I turned to Angie and I said, man, that was good. That'll preach. He's already learned at a young age, it's harder to try to live in both worlds than to be fully committed to Christ right now. Let them hear the joy of saying yes to God. I was proud of all these students that were up here, but on a personal level, I was really proud of Matthias and Josiah, who shared in the 9:15 service that God has called them to the ministry. And why that's personal to me, it was at a youth camp that I received the call for ministry, but guess what? I was afraid to tell anybody. And I lived in fear for a long time because there were two things that I was afraid of. One, what if I didn't make it and I went to schooling for it and I wasted all of that education? Because there's a little story with that. It's a simple thing. Listen, your words matter. I remember I was in my brother-in-law's mother was driving, and she saw a person come out. That's back in the time of full-service gas stations, so I'm like really old and decrepit, okay? And there was a young man that came out of there, and she just made this passing comment. It wasn't even to me. It was just what she was saying. She said, isn't that a shame? His father sent him to college, paid for all of his college, and here he is back in Hennessy, Oklahoma, pumping gas. And I thought, what if I went to college and studied for the ministry, and I didn't feel like I could do it? I didn't want anyone saying about me. And what's even worse, I would be a spiritual failure. I would say I'd heard from God, and then evidently, my hearing from God wasn't that great. So I was really proud of these young men for confessing with the mouth what God has placed in their heart. See, there's joy in saying yes to God. And there's a host of people. There's a host of people in Celebrate Recovery that would tell you, if I'd only had said yes to God earlier. But you know what? I'm glad I'm saying yes to God right now. Let's go on. I will pray that those around them will experience the benefit from what is produced in their life. Instead of worrying all the time about who's influencing them, I will thank God that He is using them to influence others for His kingdom. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. Well, what will that fruit look like? Well, not only will they be arrows, not only will they know that they were created on purpose for a purpose, not only will they have meaning and courage in their life, but here's what will begin coming out of their life. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. This is what God wants for them. He wants for us that we would bear much fruit. Let's go on. Pray that they will continually desire to experience the presence of Christ. All the while, you'll grow and you'll learn to know God better and better. Boy, that's why we do what we do. It's for all of us to know Jesus better, to become more conformed into His image, to be able to say that I see 1 John 2:6 is working in my life, that those that say they live in Christ will live their lives as Jesus lived. And God, I thank You that I see it within my children, my grandchildren, with my niece or my nephew, or the neighborhood kid that I've been bringing to church with me. And each morning they'll see it in our life as we celebrate the presence of God. thanking God that he's given us another day, that his mercies are new every day, that we take in the word and we pray as an ongoing conversation with God, that we make the deliberate choice to be thankful and point out to the things. You know, you don't have to preach a message, but sometimes when you have a fun activity and you just see how things have worked together, it can be two or three sentences where you say, you see how God worked that out? Isn't that wonderful? And you're just helping them to see God's work in their life. And at the end of the day, you give God your worries and your cares and your anger and your heart. And, you know, one of the things that really shows authenticity is, well, go to your kids and say, you know, how I handled that situation, I'm sorry. My attitude was wrong. Now, what you did was wrong, but the way that I responded to that is wrong. Will you please forgive me? Have this type of thing where you have a clear conscience before God and your students. Here's also what I want you to pray for your kids. This is near to the heart of God, that you pray that your children will trust God for the impossible. We also pray that you will be strengthened with how much of his power? All of his power. Here's something that I seem to understand about God's power. He never just gives us a reserve tank that we can just put on and say, hey, you might need this someday. Here's some of my power. He gives us power as we begin to work it into our life. He gives us power as your day, so shall your strength be. And why do you need God's power? Because God can do things in you and through you that you cannot do for yourself. And God delights in people tapping into his power. Christ did for us, this is a gospel message, Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that same power is in us. This book, the Bible, is a book of impossibilities. It's not a book of improbabilities, impossibilities. There's no way a boy with five loaves and two fish given to another man can feed 5,000 people plus women and children. But guess what? Jesus took what was given, he added his Father's blessing upon it, and as it was being distributed, it went out. There is absolutely, it baffles the mind to even believe this, that God would come to a woman and Mary and say, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to have a child in your womb, but not by natural means. What's conceived in you is by the Holy Spirit. Ridiculous from human standpoint. And Mary says, how can these things be? It's impossible. And the word of the angel was back to her and it says, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are what? All possible. And here's what she said, let it be done to me according to your word. Listen, you're going to face challenges, plans, dreams that are impossible in your life. There's absolutely no way that you will see it happen. We have some things right now going on in our church, in our church family, and we'll have things that we believe that God has called us to. And from a human level, it seems impossible. But listen, we have a God of the possible. And what God wants is people that will take him at his word and say, do you believe what I told you? And will I continue to confirm it in my life? You know, the impossible things aren't just the things we dream of. Some of those things are things we face in our body. Sickness, illness, things we happen in relationships. I don't see any possible way for this relationship to be restored. Listen, we want our children and we want ourselves to be able to believe God for the impossible and take that as a word. Let's go on. Pray that their faith will not grow tired, so you will have endurance and patience you need. These students realize this. It's easy to talk about how great God is with camp only being two or three weeks or maybe a month and past. But listen, life is hard. If you're not old enough to figure that out, let me just tell you, life is hard. And here's what also is true. Life with Jesus is hard. Corey, what do you come back to after camp? Suck. Yeah, the life of suck. Okay, all right. All right. You know, and these kids, it will suck the life out of you. It'll suck the fervor out of you. Life is hard with Jesus. But listen, in the midst of that difficulty, he leads you into grace. It's hard to always be the one that makes the right choices. It's hard to be the one that is always the grace giver, the forgiver, the one that says, hey, I was wrong in this situation. Listen, that is difficult. It goes against our natural emotions. It's hard to trust God in an impossible situation. It's hard to trust God when pain is your constant companion. When you seem to be the only one going against the tide. So pray that they would not grow weak or weary or tired in their faith. Pray next that they will live a life of gratitude. It's really hard for me to determine whether I'm with gratitude or joy, because I see them both here. May you be filled with joy and always thanking the Father. Here's what I realized: joy and gratitude are sisters. they're Siamese sisters. You know, joyful people are thankful, and thankful people have joy. They just kind of work together. Okay, and I like the quote there: joy is the echo of God's life in us. Okay. If you don't have joy, begin to contemplate God. See what he's doing in your life. Begin to let it reverberate within your soul. Well, how do we develop this? We become aware of God and his blessing. It's an acquired skill. You begin to look at that. It's part of training, and it's part of parenting. That's the next slide. Aware of God and his blessing. One of the things, I'm not a hunter, I've never been hunting, but when I'm driving with someone that is a hunter, it's amazing all the game that they can see that I don't see. I think they're just kind of messing with me. Do you see that deer? No? No? I remember one time I was going with Brad Griffin, I said, I see that deer right there. It was a yard deer, you know, but all of that. But anyway, listen, you've got to train your sights. And listen, start early. Start before they can talk, training them. Talking to them about the things of God. When you work in the church in nursery, talk to them, pray for them, sing songs before they have their vocabulary about God. Let them be aware of God's blessing in their life. And let them be secure in God's power and love. You know, fears come in. Sin is what brought insecurity. And God designed the home for this place of safety and security. And as you live out your relationships with your kids and your grandkids, security is key. Let's go on. Pray that they will share God's heart for the church. Really, Pastor? You bring the church into it? Why do you do that? Because the Holy Spirit did. He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in light. Listen, it was the church that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against. It was the church in Ephesians 5 that it says Jesus gave his life blood for. It is the church in Timothy that says it is the pillar and the support of truth. It is the church that is the family of God, the bride of Christ, the flock of God, the body of Christ. God loves the church. And listen, you need to be actively involved in the church. You need to be here on a regular basis, but not just showing up. You need to be engaged in the body life of the church. Listen, your prayers, every time that you're called to pray, you're also called to live those prayers. And so if you're going to pray, this is a dangerous prayer, because if you live it, God's going to bring some changes. If you pray this prayer, God's going to bring some changes in your life. I can guarantee it. But it's right and it's true. And we're forming arrows with a point to go out and impact this world. Because if we have anything to say about it as the people of God, is that there are many times and in many ways where it seems like the dominion of darkness is taken over, right? But listen, we're not to cower. We're not going to gather together and say, well, at least we're safe. We're going to go out and we're going to go with the power of God and do the impossible and say we're sending our kids out in this world. Now listen, another part of this service, I have it somewhere here. There are many other verses that you can pray for your kids. As you leave the sanctuary today, there's this little yellowish, tannish, whatever color it is. It's on the table that's out here. There's 14 other verses that you can pray over particular topics for your kids. You can put that in your Bible. It's on cardstock. But there are other scriptures that you can pray as well. But listen, it doesn't matter how much information that we have. Listen, if you don't remember anything that I say, remember this. Start praying for the kids. Pray specifically. Pray for them. Make that commitment now. Let's pray. Father, Lord, everything that happened to Jesus' body physically happens to us spiritually when we come to you. Jesus died, and so did our sins. Jesus was buried. Our sins are buried with him. Jesus was raised to walk in newness of life. We are raised to walk in newness of life, too. And part of that is walking in the Spirit, having conversation with you, knowing that you just haven't left us alone and say, I'll check in with you later and see how your kids are doing or your grandkids. But Lord, you invite us to bring heaven's will to earth in our families. And forgive us when we've made statements. Perhaps some people would go around the dinner table today and to say, please forgive me, I haven't done this, or my attitude was wrong. And I'm making a commitment to you, son or daughter or grandchild, whoever it would be, whatever child that is focused on their life right now, says, I'm committed to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for you regularly. Can I pray with you right now? Father, thank you. Most important thing we'll ever do is respond when we've heard you at your word. And today, Lord, we say, here am I, send me. Let me be a prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
I smell the word, you were singing over me. You have been so good.